Welcome to the Dads on the Fly podcast. I'm Joshua Simmons. Dads on the Fly is brought to you by Trout Routes, the number one mapping resource for trout anglers. Turtlebox Audio, the loudest, most rugged outdoor speaker. And Catch Cam Nets, where you can build your own net.
And I'm Caleb Simmons. Thanks for joining with me and my brother as we discuss fly fishing, fatherhood, and faith, and the intermingling of it all. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 123 of the Dads on the Fly podcast. I'm Caleb Simmons, and hanging out in the studio with my brother, Joshua Simmons. Joshua, how's it going, man?
Hey, man, it's going pretty good. Sunday evening, getting ready for a cool week. We got an event coming up on Saturday night. Those of you who are local, if you want to come to the event, you got to shoot me a DM, because you got to let us know now. We got to get the RSVPs in. We're going to have a little social night here in right here in Western North Carolina. And premiere something we're super excited about for those folks. And all I can say is, this week, man, you need to be checking out the Instagram hard. It's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. Let's go ahead and tell everybody what we got going on this weekend, Joshua. So we're having a Dazzle and Fly social night, and then the Dazzle and Fly, it's a film premiere. It's really cool. We hung out with a friend of ours, Jesse, from Backwater Fly Fishing, and Jesse came into town, and we're going to talk more about kind of how this all happened, actually on next week's episode of the podcast. And he created a film for us, which is just incredible. We've seen the kind of edits of it, and we've seen the final cut that's going to be dropping next week, and it's cool, man. I'm just excited that this thing exists for the future, and can't wait to share kind of our story.
It turned into something I don't want to talk about too much, because you're right, next week episode is like a whole behind the scenes on how we did it and everything. But the trailer tells a lot, and the trailer drops today. So if you're on social media, go check out Backwater Fly Fishing or us or any of our sponsors for the film on their channels. You're going to see the trailer. It's going to drop today, and that'll give you a little get you excited for next Monday when the film will drop on YouTube. So, yeah, super excited about that. But today we've got an episode with a friend of ours. Come to find out, he was a listener of the show. We started talking on Instagram about some things he was doing in his area, and he's kind of doing some fly and foul, F-O-W-L, as we say on the episode, and he's kind of got him a little YouTube channel going, and it turns out he'd been listening to our show for a while, so it was kind of cool to just talk to him. And, you know, man, one thing I wanted to talk to you about in this intro before we kind of get going is, I think I've been doing a lot of just reflection in 2024. I know we're only 20 days into it, but I've been doing a lot of reflections. Like, one of my goals to do reflection. One of my goals for 2024 is to become a reader, and I've done my goal is 4 books a month.
I'm impressed.
I've already done 2.
Good for you. So, that's awesome, man.
Yeah, but I've only got 10 days to finish 2 more.
Nah, you knocked out.
So I don't read fast, but my goal is to become a reader this year. So I'm 2 books down.
I'm proud.
Two more to go.
Proud of you. It's great.
Reading a lot of different stuff, but and through that, I kind of been doing some more reflection, and I got to thinking about, you know, the Dads on the Fly podcast, and this kind of leads into where we're going today with this episode, but. You know, there was a time when we started this podcast, we said, hey, we say this all the time, maybe our moms and, you know, maybe our mom, not that we have 2 moms.
But maybe our mom will listen.
Maybe our mom will listen, maybe our grandparents. And, you know, and then we kind of met a bunch of people. And this thing kind of went crazy for a while, and we were interviewing, like, Tom Rosenbauer and Tim Camisa and all these great dudes, which are still awesome. We still, you know, have a good relationship with them. And it was like, man, we got something going. And we still do have something going, but it reminded me this episode, I think there for a while we got to where we were looking at our numbers and like trying to build this thing and thinking it was going to be like, I don't know what we might thought it might be. And it's still something, not that it won't. And the video will help. And like, well, but I think so for me personally, I got focused on like checking those numbers every week, seeing where our downloads were. And in 2024, I've just reflected like, got to come back and be real to the show. And I thought this was a cool episode to do that.
Yeah, this is a really cool episode to do that. You're exactly right, because Dylan is a guy like us.
He's us.
He's a weekend warrior. He's a young dad, and he found fly fishing about 10 years ago. So he's going to tell in his story, and it's been a profound thing in his life, and it has highly benefited his life. We talk in this episode a little bit about mindfulness and how we think and how we fail and failing forward, and this is just a really cool thing that I enjoy doing. Like you said, you know, we have some really well-known guests on our show sometimes, and that's awesome, and they're incredible,
and they're still a famous
and
one.
It's
I want
really cool.
I'm reaching out to him every week.
There's still some well-known guests that we still want to have on the show in the future, and then there's guys that aren't as well known yet. And so this guy like Dylan that we're gonna have on the show today is just really cool to hear his story and to hear about. You know, I think he connects with dads that listen to the show, and so I'm excited for everyone to hear this conversation with Mr. Dylan Bocarlo.
yeah, man, let's just remind everybody, check us out on all the social medias, and especially leave us a review if you like what you hear. We've got some cool stuff coming up. Retreat is obviously booked, but fall retreat dates we're going to look at if we can get that rolling. For those of you, I think I've had some emails, hey, I'd like to maybe come to another retreat. We don't have one, but we are trying to get one for the fall. And, man, yeah, just thanks to Dylan for joining us for this episode, and thank you guys for listening as always. And okay, I think we're ready to fire it up.
Yeah, man, let's dive into this episode with Dylan. And hey, like Joshua said, leave us a rating review. But also, the best way to share this podcast is if you enjoy this episode, just hit that share button at the top and send it to a buddy. And maybe they want to check this out as well. Maybe you think they'll find it beneficial also. All right, without further ado, let's dive into our conversation with Dylan.
We want to welcome to Dads on the Fly, Mr. Dylan Bo Carlisle. Dylan coming to us from North Georgia. And Dylan, thanks for being part of the show today, man.
Yeah, man. Thank you guys for having me so much. Long time listener. And it's really an honor to be on here with you guys tonight.
Long time listener, first time caller. There you go, man. Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, a little sports talk show action. So,
yes, sir.
Dylan, man, I think we started connecting maybe a little bit on Instagram. Followed you a little bit on your YouTube channel, which we're going to get into, talk about some other stuff. But first of all, let's just, I think you were telling us off air, but kind of tell everybody, first time you kind of got a fly rod in your hand, I think you said around high school, maybe into high school.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I've always been, fishing's always been a part of my life, growing up, you know, always with conventional gear, whether that's, you know, pond bass fishing, but we did a lot of trout fishing. I've got most of my family is from Blue Ridge, Georgia, so we've got it's the quote unquote trout capital of Georgia. So we've done a lot of trout fishing over there, a lot of spinner baits, rooster tails, and some power bait. But yeah, growing up, and you know, I've got one memory of my dad. He had an old fly rod that you know, used to sit in the closet, and he used it, you know, here and there a couple of times, but he was never really into it. That was kind of the first experience that I ever saw with a fly rod. And then I guess right when we graduated high school, a buddy of mine, you know, was seeing some fly fishing stuff on probably Instagram or something. He's like, hey man, like let's, you know, a little bit about trout fishing. Let's try to get into this. And so we bought a entry level combo kit and started fly fishing. You know, it was just really super, for the lack of a better way, putting it on the fly, you know, just kind of trying to figure it out as we go. And then come to find out later on, you know, after our first trip, you know, I started talking to my mom about all of, you know, my fishing trip. And she told me about how my grandfather was really big into fly fishing, you know, back in his day, and even his father. So my great grandfather was also a big fly fisherman. So it kind of goes back in my family, even though I'm really kind of the only one in the family that's doing it now. But it's kind of pretty neat to kind of see that history, you know, in our family with that.
So started with a combo kit. Do we take bets on what kind of combo kit we might have got? There's just so many, you know, some of the ones that just seem to. Personally, I started on a Reddington combo kit, if you recall, okay. Caleb, the old the Reddington Crosswater.
So, that's right.
Throw out your. Do you remember your combo kit starter?
Oh yeah, yeah. It was the Orvis Encounter. I actually
there you go.
Bought it from the fly shop. So I didn't get the $20. Box store special, you know, I kind of got special? Some, yeah, I didn't get the Walmart special, but you know, it was a great entry level rod. And to be honest with you guys, you know, I got really into, or serious about fly fishing, I would say about 3 or 4 years ago, you know, where I really started taking it serious and, spending a lot of time doing it. And really up until that point, that's the rod that I used, and just recently actually gave that rod away to a buddy that was wanting to get into it. So I kind of helped him, put him in the right direction, give him a good setup to get started with. But yeah, that's
pretty cool, man.
Catch a fish, man.
Paying it forward. You know? I like it.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, man.
giving up your first rod. That's a big move.
Yeah, I may regret it at some point, but you know, it is what it is. I actually just gave away my first vise to another buddy that just got into fly fishing, and he wants to start tying flies, and so. Yeah, I may regret it at some point, but you know, I kind of wanted to help some friends out, kind of put them in the right direction, and kind of pass it on, you know.
Too cool, man. So you started fishing, fly fishing, and you said in the last 4 years you've kind of really gotten into it. And we know that you come to us from North Georgia, so I was hoping we could talk just a little bit about, you know, we know Blue Ridge. We fished in Blue Ridge a couple times. Caleb's fished more than I have down there several times, and that tends to be the capital, but. What are some cool things? I think sometimes maybe Georgia's overlooked in the trout world. So other than Blue Ridge, what are some cool things that just make kind of your area a great place to trout fish?
Yeah, man. I would really say that it's very overlooked. I mean, I wouldn't put it into the category of maybe North Carolina and some of the other states like that just have a ton of trout water. But in my backyard, I live about 10 minutes away from a trout stream. Right here on the Cahutta Mountains here. So, you know, I can, during the summertime, you know, in the evenings, I can go over there about 10 minutes and catch fish for, you know, an hour and then come home and eat supper and go to, and put the kids to bed, you know? So, but even beyond that, there's quite a few blue lines up there on the mountain with a ton of, wild rainbows and some wild browns. So and that's just literally right here in my backyard. And then, you know, maybe another hour and a half away into Blue Ridge, there's a ton of trout water there. So there's just really an abundance of trout water, you know, pretty local to me. But I would say that the information is very limited on some of those. It's not super published. You know, you kind of have to do a little bit of homework to find some of those areas. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's some areas that are, you know, it's on the stocking report and you can kind of go and find those, but there's quite a bit of, and even to this day, I've still not explored a lot of it. Matter of fact, one of the projects that I want to do with my YouTube channel is to go through the mountain here, in my backyard and fish all the main, creeks and rivers and all the tributaries and try to put together some sort of a cumulative thing about this particular mountain range here in my backyard, because there's not a lot of information as far as fishing it, except for the main stocked creek there that's 10 minutes from my house. But all the other wild trout water there is just, and I fished quite a bit of it, and there's good fishing to be had. But there's just no information on it, and I don't know if I would ever share the information, you know. But it would be a cool thing to maybe semi-document that process on the YouTube channel, and give people more of something to look at, and to kind of grow the and you don't want to grow the opportunity or the knowledge of your fishing area too much, because you don't want it to be overpressured, and you don't want those sorts of things to happen as well. But maybe just for a personal goal, it'd be really neat to achieve something like that.
Yeah. Well, a couple, all it takes is a couple good books about a place, and then there's people everywhere. So, yeah. But I do like the idea of trying to take care of your resource there. And, there's so much water to explore. I think that's what Caleb and I noticed when we were kind of in that area before. There's definitely some blue lines. I know that it's kind of similar to North Carolina in some ways. I think your water rights or access rights are similar to North Carolina. Is that correct? Like, if it's private water, you have to be careful, that kind of deal. But you're talking about most of the water you're exploring, like your blue lines, are on, I guess, state lands or game. We call them game lands here, but state lands.
Yeah, that's right. And I'm pretty sure that it's similar waterway laws, basically just that, you know, if it's a navigable waterway, then you could be on it, but you can't be touching the bottom and that sort of thing in access. But yeah, the most of the blue lines are all on WMAs, wildlife management areas, national forest areas. But yeah, public game land is where a lot of that's on.
Yeah, man, I've spent a lot of time. I say a lot of time. Several trips in the Chattahoochee Ocoee National Forest over there, and kind of up near Springer Mountain. the beginning of the Appalachian Trail, and there's just some beautiful area all in there. Done a lot of riding around on some Jeeps and having a lot of fun in that area. And it is it's really pretty area. And it's so pretty. And you know, I've been in there in the spring, I've been in there in the fall, and it is a gorgeous area, and it holds some pretty nice wild trout in a lot of those streams. And I encourage, you know, you may not like me to say this, but I encourage people to check out North Georgia if they're interested.
Yeah, there's quite a bit of
trout fishing.
It really is. It's really great. But it's kind of like the redheaded stepchild of right next to North Carolina. You know, it's like kind of when there's that good of trout water, that much trout water, that close, then, you know, being, you know, going to North Carolina kind of makes sense. And I spend a lot of time, you know, in North Carolina as well, because it's just, you know, an hour or two away.
Yeah, we got a North Georgia trip coming up, I think, in the spring. I don't remember the dates, but a little family reunion. We're meeting some folks, and I think we're going to make a little spring break trip out of it for a couple days.
Heck yeah.
And we plan to bring the raft down, so we might give you a shout. What are some I think Caleb's aware that there's a couple of tailwaters you guys that are floatable in that area, too. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Yeah. There's a couple.
You got the
Tocoa. Mm-hmm. Yep, the Tocoa tailwater there. And then I don't know what other part that you'd be in, but you could also potentially float the upper Tocoa above the lake. And depending on the time of year, that can be really good. And also there's some, the Hiawassee tailwater, is a floatable area. It's a little bit, I would say maybe an hour from Blue Ridge, but there's a lot of floatable area, in that region as well.
Cool deal, man. So you got into it really hot and heavy 4 or 5 years ago. You know, exploring waters, blue lines, your tailwaters. You sound like you got some stock streams. So what is it for you, man, that you love that just keeps bringing you back to fly fishing? What is it that keeps just wanting you to come back? I think I've seen some videos. I know you tie your own flies. What is it that just keeps bringing you back?
Well, the tug is the drug, man. But on a real note, I don't know. It's just something about being in nature, standing in the water. I think I've actually heard you guys talk about this on the podcast before, about just the power of the water and the moving water and how that, you know, kind of resets you to a degree. But also just the tricking a wild fish into taking some piece of feather on a hook, you know, it's just something really cool and special about that, especially when you take the time and energy to create a fly or to tie a fly and kind of see how that works, and just the connection with all of that. And it's really something that it's kind of like a zen thing for me, you know, with the hustle and bustle of day jobs and management and that sort of thing. And then, you know, your family life and all that is super important. And one of the biggest things for me is kind of having an outlet to reset myself. And that's one of the things that I've really found with fishing, especially fly fishing, as well as like hunting and some of the other things, but fly fishing, because it's so accessible to me, and so close that, you know, I can make a couple hour trip to do this. And I find myself coming back to being a better, husband and father, just because of how that resets me. And so that's something that I crave. And more than anything, just kind of being out there to reset myself and have that connection with nature and the fish and also the challenge of it all. And I'm sure that you guys may think about this, too, but just, I don't know what it is about fly fishermen, but we have to make things so hard. You know, we could make catching fish so much easier, but we decide to make it so much harder on ourselves. But the challenge of it is something that's really fun too. I mean, there's just so much about it that I really love and that I enjoy.
Yeah, man, I completely understand all of that. You know, we were talking to someone just recently about kind of the benefits of fly fishing, and it's the only place where things kind of finally get turned off in all areas, and where you're focused on one specific thing, and how beneficial that is for the mind. And so, yeah, man, I highly relate to that. Well, you mentioned the fact that you love tying your own flies. And so I want to get into that a little bit. So how long had you been fly fishing when you started tying?
Maybe a year. No, not even a year. Probably within 6 months. And it was, I've not really gotten, I would say the last 3 years, I've gotten a little bit better at tying flies and really kind of dialed on several patterns. And, you know, I can typically tie a fly or a new pattern, maybe by the sixth fly, it looks pretty good. But no, yeah, it was one of those things too, that was just a really cool, especially after learning about our family history with fly fishing, that my grandfathers, they tied their own flies and things. And that really kind of spurred me into, hey, that's a really cool idea. Really, really neat thing. I was really terrible at it, for a long time. and then, you know, I spent a lot of time there in college that I didn't do a whole lot of it. But yeah, so I would say probably within the first year of me fly fishing, I kind of picked that up as well.
Do you remember the first do you remember the first fly that you tied that you caught a fish on? Can you remember what fly that might have been?
Ooh, first fly that I tied. Well, I know the first fly I tied was a San Juan worm, but I can't remember if I caught a fish on it or not. And I don't know how it's possible to screw up a San Juan worm, but it really did not look great.
You know, it's very easy, man, proportions to screw up off anything when you're behind a mic.
It's so easy. But I think it really the first fly that I know that I tied that I consistently caught fish on was the elk hair caddis. The very first time that I went fishing or fly fishing, you know, me and my buddy would stop at the fly shop, bought our combo kits and some flies, box of flies, and went to Tocoa tailwater, and I caught my first fish on the fly on a stimulator. And so from that point on, I was like, okay, screw the nymphs. I'm dry fly or die. You know, that's the only way I'm going to fish. And to my detriment for years, I was just so bullheaded that I just only wanted to fish dry flies simply because nymphing was really difficult. You know, it's really simple, but it was kind of difficult for me to figure out. The dry fly fishing was much, much easier. But, but after that, I started tying a lot of dry flies, and the elk hair caddis was really the first pattern that I knew that, you know, I would consistently catch fish on.
Wanted to bring up the fly tying because now not only are you kind of doing it on your own, I mean, you're posting some videos. We're going to talk about your YouTube channel here in just a minute, but, you know, you're teaching other people how to do that. Have you had some experience with teaching other guys how to tie flies?
Yeah, so maybe not like sitting down with somebody and showing them the ropes and how to do it necessarily, but one of our local fly shops in Chattanooga, Tennessee, Hatch Outfitters, shout out Hatch Outfitters, they do like a fly tying night once a month. And so it's kind of a cool thing to show up and hang out with some of the guys, and a lot of those people are you know, there's several of them that are experienced fly tiers, and then there's some that it's the first time sitting behind a vise. So sometimes I'll be sitting next to somebody and kind of help teaching through that. And within some of my life too, I've just kind of enjoyed teaching people. I'm not a teacher, and I don't necessarily want to be a teacher, but it's a great job, but I don't think it's for me. But coaching and those sorts of things, those kind of hands-on coaching or teaching experiences, kind of something that I enjoy doing. So you know, that's kind of what I would say. My newest friend that I just gave away my first vice to, we spent a lot of time, I don't even think we've sat down to tie flies together yet. But you know, we're every night we're sending each other pictures of the flies that we're tying. They're like, oh yeah, that looks great. You know, hey, maybe you should change the legs to something else or cut back on the hot spot, or, you know, just helping each other out like that. It's kind of fun to kind of have a sounding board and somebody to share that kind of experience with.
We're going to dive into your fact that you're a father here in a minute, but how old are your kids?
So I have a 2-year-old daughter and a 2-month-old son.
Okay, so what do you think's harder, teaching a buddy to tie flies or teaching something to your 2-year-old?
Oh man. Well, it's easy to teach the 2-year-old something when you're not trying to teach them something. So they pick up on they're a sponge. They pick up everything. So unintentional teaching to a 2-year-old is pretty easy. But trying to teach somebody else how to tie fly is also not very easy.
Yeah, I tried to teach Josh how to tie flies, and I think I like potty trained my children a whole lot easier than I did teach Josh how to tie flies.
That's cool.
Oh man, don't let him talk to you like that, Joshua. Come on now. Oh, that's funny.
Man, I'm sure like us kind of up here in the mountains, like similar patterns. You said you were dry fly for die for a while, dry or die for a while. But I know through watching your YouTube channel, which we're going to kind of transition into, you do some streamer fishing, you do some Euro nymphing now. Are you a kind of a guy like me who just says whatever the conditions allow is what I'll do to catch fish, or do you have one you maybe like over the other?
Oh man. I really do like streamer fishing, but conditions are not always favorable for those, especially like the last 6 months of not having, you know, super low water,
any water, fish.
Yeah, no water, and no rain to have those really good, you know, high water conditions and stuff. So, but yeah, I would say probably hopper dropper. You know, that's the biggest, that's what I fish 95% of the time is hopper dropper. And even in the middle of the winter time, some people are like, oh yeah, let's just throw an indicator on. I put a hopper on and then I put a dropper on. And if I get, you know, 99% of my fish off of the dropper, but I get that one eat on the dry fly, then it was worth it. Because I'm a dry or die guy. I just love I love them coming up and seeing them eat it on the surface. And that's kind of one of the reasons why I've been so I've got a couple buddies that are after me about getting into Euro nymphing and tight lining and that sort of stuff. And for the longest time I've just like, no, I can't do that. I can't give up I cannot give up the potential possibility to have one fish all day or in 3 weeks eat the dry fly. It's hard for me to give that up, but
Euro nymphing is fun. I do think it's definitely a skill that you have to acquire or get really good at. I do think you catch a lot more fish, and I think that folks who and I have good buddies that do all of it, and we've kind of dabbled in it now that we got this Euro rod and I do enjoy it sometimes, and it is kind of fun to fight a cool, like, you know, 16, 18 inch fish on a 10-foot three weight. It's pretty fun to fight them on that for sure. But I'm kind of like you, man. Typically my bobber has a hook on it, which means it's a hopper or some kind of a big stimulator, like you're saying, for sure. And that's what makes for me fun too. Cause I always feel like, well, you never know if that one fish wants to come up and eat that day. You got a chance to set him on the dry, and that's pretty cool. So, let's transition to YouTube thing. That's right. So you're saying there's a chance. Let's transition to YouTube thing. Your wife said, hey, why don't you shoot some videos of your own? I think you maybe, like me, are a possible fly fishing YouTube junkie. We could probably talk about some buddies we've had on this show. Maybe you've watched some of their films and they're
a lot of
for sure. But you know, sometimes it's cool, man, to check out somebody like yourself who's just kind of doing their own thing. It looks like you're shooting most of your stuff just with a simple GoPro, if I'm right. Maybe you got some other equipment at this point, but just making some videos. And what is it about that you enjoy doing?
Yeah, man. Well, first and foremost, shout out to my wife for spurring me on to do this kind of adventure with the YouTube thing.
Smart guy. You know, you're going to send this to her, and that's going to get you like an extra day on the water right there. That line, this is going to be perfect.
I hope so, but it's all sincere. It really is, man. And she's just a rock star with the kids and holding the fort down and, you know, graciously letting me go, you know, once a weekend or whenever it is whatever time we have idle time. And even helping schedule our family vacations around, hey, there may be some fishing opportunities here for him. Which we've been fortunate enough to do that. So So yeah, on the YouTube thing, what I enjoy the most about it really is the fact that, kind of what I alluded to earlier, that, you know, you can't fish every single day. You know, some people can, some people are able to do that, but, for a lot of people, that's not a realistic thing. But being around fishing every day is a potential possibility. So, you know, that's, you know, going and adding an extra layer of a challenge to, we got to make things harder than they need to be. So that now I'm filming things, and trying to do two things at once. But then I get to come home and spend some time with the kids. And when everybody goes to bed, then I can sit there down on my computer and kind of revisit that and enjoy that fishing adventure again. It's been a fun challenge of learning a new skill with the video editing and audio and those sorts of things, and trying to kind of place those things together. And I'm on a limited budget, so I don't have a really fancy camera. I shoot everything on a GoPro and my cell phone. But you know, I'm hoping to kind of get quality up there and, get my, you know, quality of videos, and I wouldn't even call them a filmmaking because they're certainly not that kind of quality of a film. But hopefully one day I'll be able to kind of progress into some of those sorts of things as I learn videography and editing and that sort of thing. But that's kind of what I've really enjoyed about it, is you know, kind of getting to revisit those times on the water and kind of share those with other people. And some of the feedbacks have been really, really cool. I would had no idea that I would ever in my life have somebody that watched my videos that lived in Iceland. But I had somebody
oh, wow.
comment on one of my videos that was like, "Hey, comment from Iceland." And forgive me if the guy's listening, it might not have been Iceland, but it was like Scotland or Iceland or somewhere, some land somewhere that was watching my video on the other side of the world. And I just thought, wow, that is so crazy. But so it's kind of been fun with that. Kind of seeing it grow has been really fun.
Yeah, that's really cool, Dylan. And I hadn't really thought about that before, of really the way that you're able to be creative with this thing. And it's a way to keep you connected to the fishing trip when you know, when you're like us and you're a weekend warrior and you can't go every day, you can't be on the water as much as you want to be. It's a way to go back and revisit those trips. It's a way to kind of catalog all that. And you probably learn a lot about your own fishing styles, techniques, and how to get better. And that's got to be a really, I find that very appealing. And, you know, while I'll never be able to record myself and do the video thing, we've just tried it and we're not good at it. It does sound very, very appealing to be able to learn.
I just got to where I don't have the patience to do it. It's so much easier for me to just talk to people. And then I can go back and listen to this episode and be like, oh, this is how you catch fish in North Georgia. Or, oh, this is what, you know, such and such said about that. But, yeah, the videos are cool, man. And, you do some cool, I've seen a lot of them you do up here in our area, come up our way, fish from North Carolina streams, for sure. Mm-hmm. I was watching one today of you catching some fish on streamer. And that's what me and Caleb say about the podcast a lot. And you may feel the same way. It kind of gives you something to go back and look at. But it also, it's a way in some ways, you know, you got two young kids. YouTube will always be there. They'll live out there forever. Once you put some on the internet, it never goes away.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of cool. You can go back and say, hey, look, this is kind of where I caught fish and stuff, you know?
Yeah, it's really a really cool thing. As a matter of fact, a couple weeks ago, my daughter was sitting with me, and just before she was going to bed, she was actually trying to find a way to not go to bed. we're fighting sleep now. Apparently, we're regressing. But anyway, we were sitting there kind of watching videos on my phone, and I pulled up my YouTube channel, and we sat there and watched some of my videos for like 30 or 40 minutes. And she just sat there and was like, you know, oh, daddy caught a fish, or, you know, so it was just such a really cool moment, to kind of share that. And I can't wait to when they're a little bit bigger to be able to take them and share those adventures with them in person. But yeah, that's such a really cool thing. And another thing I wanted to say too about you guys' podcast is how that also helps kind of keep us, within the fly fishing world or realm, when we can't be. You know, I listen to this podcast and some of the other fishing podcasts and hunting podcasts, you know, through my commute to work. every day. And I find that's a great way for me to kind of stay engaged with that and kind of keep my spirits up or kind of get some sort of a fly fishing, I hate to say fix, but you know, it's not necessarily an addiction. It's an obsession. so I guess you could call it one of two ways, but yeah. That's right.
But I think in doing that, man, something that we've been talking about in my line of work, just with students, and it's just having if you start doing some research and read books about just some of that, to me is being in a growth mindset of always improving. It's something that I've really been doing a lot of reading and research about and conversation with the fellow administrators that I work with. And, you know, we talk about it, growth mindset, on how we can get kids to grow and how we can grow our school. But when you think about it in terms of doing anything, really, from podcasting to YouTubing to fly fishing, you got to be a lifelong learner and you got to fail forward with stuff. And, you know, Caleb and I have had episodes that we, you know, realize maybe we didn't do as good a job of talking, and when you start listening to yourself talk and what not to take out and what to say. And I'm sure through doing YouTube videos, you have the same, well, I could edit this different this time. And then in fly fishing, it's, hey, let's change this time. You're constantly learning. We talk about this all the time, growing, getting better at this, whether it's casting, whether it's presenting a fly the certain way. And so I think what you said, when you're commuting back and forth, you're listening to folks. If I listen to a podcast, and I listen to a ton of them, or I watch a YouTube video, and I may watch a 10 minute video that, you know, Dylan puts out, if I learn one or two things, I'm feeling great about it. If I learn five things, I'm feeling outstanding. You know what I mean? Like, you're just learning from anything you kind of put.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's one of the coolest things too. And really, I'm not a professional fly tire by any means. I'm below amateur. I'm not great at fly tying. But I dabble, you could say, but you know, it's so cool to see also, especially like with the fly tying, is that there's so many different techniques to do and create the same pattern. And so that's one thing that I hope and why I still like to do the fly tying Tuesdays that I do, you know, most every Tuesday or every couple of Tuesdays, I try to put out a fly tying video of a pattern that I've learned to tie and kind of walk people through how to do it. But one of the reasons I like doing that is because, you know, you could find one technique that I may do differently than what you do, and you try it, and wow, it just makes a huge game changer. And I'm constantly doing that too, as well. But then even within the fly fishing, is doing the, you know, oh wow, I could have really edited this video much better. And almost I cringe whenever I've gone back and watched the first couple episodes or, videos that I put out, you know, just like, wow, who in their right mind would be watching this, you know? But yeah, it's really cool to kind of see how it's come from, you know, my first video to the video. I've got a video coming out this week. You know, so it's kind of a really cool thing to kind of see how that progresses, and try to evolve in that, editing and not only editing, but just the fly fishing in general. You know, I'm not big into tight line nymphing, but, this past weekend I just went and had a buddy that kind of showed me how to do it a little bit. I was doing it on a 9'5" weight, so it's not ideal, but I caught some fish, and so it's something that's kind of, you know, I'm trying to ever be forever learning, lifelong learner, like you guys mentioned earlier, just trying to be the best I can be at everything I do, is really the ultimate goal.
Totally agree with you. There has been a lot of things we've done and we've put out there that have not been as good as we wanted them to be. But it's like you said, you just keep learning and you keep getting better as you go. You know, you mentioned your fly tying Tuesdays. I love those, by the way. I've already checked a bunch of them out and I agree with you completely.
Appreciate it.
I watch so many fly tying videos. I mean, my Instagram algorithm has got me pegged to a T, because, you know, every other video is a fly being tied. And, it's like you said, it's really neat, because there's so many people that do even small techniques very differently. You know, whether that's a different way to tie up like a parachute post, or a different way somebody ties on rubber legs, or whatever it is, there's so many different ways of doing that. And you can learn and kind of test and beta and figure out things that work best for you. And it's just a really neat way to learn. So you mentioned your YouTube channel. We want to make sure we give that a shout out. It's Carlisle Fly and Foul. We'll make sure to put that and link it in the show notes with this as well. But people can go there and just kind of follow along with your adventures, correct?
Yeah. And follow me on Instagram. Same thing, Carlisle Fly in Foul, I guess is the letter N instead of the and sign. And on TikTok as well. I usually post similar videos and shorts or reels and post to all those platforms. So but you guys, yeah, check me out, Carlisle Fly and Foul. And I also aim to be doing some, and we didn't touch on it much tonight, but I do also a lot of waterfowl hunting, duck hunting.
We're gonna let everybody know that the fowl wasn't like foul ball or anything. So we don't want anybody get confused. Fly and foul. So, you use a lot of hunting down there too?
Yeah, so not much here in Georgia. The duck hunting is not as really great or ideal. But my father and I, we go to Arkansas to duck hunt a lot and in other places. I think last year, or I guess it was the year before last, we went to North Dakota to do a duck hunt. So being that I just had our son was born at the 1st of November, I've kind of set this duck season out mostly just because I didn't have the means to be really traveling to pursue the duck hunting. So that's kind of why the channel doesn't have as much duck hunting on it as of yet. But that will be changing within the next year or so. But yeah, that's kind of the whole concept is, you know, my two biggest passions were fly fishing and duck hunting. So just one of the make a YouTube channel to kind of promote that and share that with people.
It's really great. So I have a question for you, Dylan. Have you ever done a blast and cast? Like, have you ever fished and hunted from the same boat?
I have not, but that would be a really cool thing to do.
Yeah, I got some buddies who have done it and talked about how much fun it is. Taking the boat, floating down the river, and shooting some ducks as you're fly fishing. I mean, they've got me talked into wanting to try it for sure.
That sounds like absolute, for the lack of a better way of putting it, blast. That sounds like a ton of fun.
All right, buddy. Well, we appreciate you joining us. Once again, folks, go check him out. We'll have all that linked in the show notes. I don't want to misspeak. Dylan, we really appreciate you being we find these episodes like this just so cool to speak to other dads like ourselves who are kind of going through it. When Caleb and I started this podcast, we said there's going to be some episodes where we may speak to somebody everybody knows. And then, we like to speak into a good, mountain guy like yourself right around the corner here. We hope that people go check out your YouTube channel. Hope that people find this conversation. I learned some stuff about some North Georgia fly fishing that we're going to explore, and hopefully we'll catch you on the water when we come down. And I can't remember when that is, Caleb. Maybe like April. Sometime in April, we'll give you a shout and make that happen. We appreciate you supporting the podcast, and thanks for being a part of us tonight, man.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you guys so much. And this podcast has been really inspirational for me as a fly fisherman, but a father as well. You know, a lot of dad tips and motivation and really encouragement. So I just want to applaud you guys for that. And, I think I found you guys you guys were on your sixth or seventh episode when I found you guys. And so I've since, every single week I've listened to every single episode. So it's been really neat, and it's been a great connecting with you guys finally. And I really do appreciate your time tonight and having me on y'all's podcast.
Yeah, Dylan, appreciate it, man. And man, that means a lot. You've been listening for a long time, and I still find that amazing that people have listened to us for that long, Joshua. But
yeah, that's a long time, man. That's a lot of stuff in there. But
that's a lot of us rambling.
2024 is going to be even better. Don't you worry. It's going to be pretty good.
But Dylan, man, that's the thing we love about this as well, is it's just kind of creating this cool community of like-minded people. We love fishing, but we also take our family seriously and trying to be the best dads we can be. And so it's awesome to get to talk to people like you that are trying to get to do just that.
Yep. I appreciate it, guys. It's been awesome.
Yeah, man. Well, guys, thanks for hanging out and listening to this episode of the Dads on the Fly podcast. And until next time, tight lines.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Dads on the Fly podcast. We hope this conversation has inspired or encouraged you as a parent or an angler.
To learn more about Dads on the Fly, you can find us at dadsonthefly.com or at Instagram or Facebook at Dads on the Fly.
Yeah, we'd always love it if you leave us a rating or review, as it helps get our word out about the podcast. And if you like this episode, make sure to shoot a message and share it with a friend.